This is the week before we get to Parshas Shemois, and I imagine that what does an Elohim Yid do during this week? Mistami sits down and thinks about Klal Yisrael. What is Klal Yisrael? Shemois, Sefer Shemois, when we get right down to it, is of course the story of the birth of Klal Yisrael as a nation, as a Ribbono Shel'Olam's people. And, well, who are we really? And what exactly are the implications of being an Am of the Ribbono Shel Olam? So really that's what ought to engage us this week a little bit. So let's try and analyze that a little bit. Now, Lemaisa, we're going to make a little bit of a detour. It's not too much of a detour, and it's interesting anyway, so don't mind me, but it's interesting what we're going to be discussing. So it's for some reason this week I have felt a certain soft spot for Miriam Bas Bilger. Who is Miriam Bas Bilger? Maybe people know the Gemara. It's Nun Wolf on the base and Sech the Sukkah, Toner Rabbanon, Masel be Miriam Bas Bilger. It was a story of Miriam Bas Bilger. Shehemiro Dosa. Never she became, she Hellenized. She became part of the Yovan community. Veholcho Venissus Lesadi Yud Echad Mimalche Yovonim. That was in the time of the Yevonim, in the time of Hanukkah, and she got married to a Goyish officer in the army of the Yevonim. Kishenichnasu Yevonim leHeichal, when the Yevonim entered the Heichal, Hoysum mevaetes besandelo al gabe hamizbeach. She went and kicked the mizbeach. She stomped. She went up on the mizbeach and stomped with her feet on the mizbeach. Veomro, and she said, Lucus, Lucus. Rashi says Lucus means a wolf in Greek. For the fun of it, I looked up in an English Greek dictionary, which used Latin characters, not the Greek writing. And Tucker has for a wolf, they spell it Lykos, Lykos, something like that. I mean, that's close enough to Lucus. So Amro, Lucus, Lucus, you wolf, you wolf. She said to the Mizbeach, "At Mosai ato mechale mamainon shel Yisrael. How long are you going to gobble up Yidden's money? V'i ato oimed aleim b'shas hadchak. If you would do something for them, that would be very nice. But you don't do a thing for them, Horaya. We Yevonim are just now taking over the whole of Eretz Yisrael. So you haven't managed to help them in any way. And instead, you gobble and gobble and gobble their wealth. I guess when they bring korbanos, it costs money. So you're gobbling up their wealth." And I hate you. And that's why she kicked the Mizbeach, and Chazal say that they punished the whole family, and so on and so forth. That's Miriam Bas Bilger. So what do I mean? I have a soft spot for her. Why am I in favor of kicking the Mizbeach and saying, Lucas, Lucas, at Mosa ato mechalem amainam shel Yisrael? It tells I'm not for that at all. And I understand that it was terribly wrong what she did. However, this week, I think I suddenly understood where's she coming from. It seems to me that this Miriam Bas Bilger in her youth must have gone to Beis Yaakov. She must have had a nice chinuch in some nice Yiddish school. I don't know exactly what they had in Eretz Yisrael in those times, but it sounds like she learned something. What did she learn? I know that when my children were small, I seem to remember, I don't know why the schools do that, but a lot of them have the children learn the Birchas Yaakov by heart. Something that children know. So, when it came to Binyamin, it says, Binyamin Ze'ev Yitzchof, that Binyamin is a tearing wolf. And the famous Targum on Binyamin Ze'ev Yitzchof, Rashi brings it in the Gemara, like in our Targum it's a little bit different, but that's how Rashi has it. What does it mean, Binyamin Ze'ev Yitzchof, that Binyamin is a tearing wolf? So Targum is Metargum, Ba'achasante, in Binyamin's property, Yisbenei Matbecho, the Mizbeach has to be built. In other words, that in the brocha of Yaakov Avinu, when he gave the brocha to Binyamin, that he's a Ze'ev Yitrov, a tearing wolf. So the Targum says, and we'll see in a moment that the Gemara seems to agree with that, that he meant is that in the Mizbeach is going to have to be built in Binyamin's Chelek. Mizbeach is going to have to be built in Binyamin's Chelek. So, I mean, there is a Moshel and a Nimshel. So, I mean, the Nimshel has to have some shaykhus to the Moshel. The Moshel has to have some shaykhus to the Nimshel. So, apparently, Yaakov Avinu is calling the Mizbeach a Ze'ev Yitzchav, a tearing wolf. That's the Poshet, the Taich, and the Poshet, the Pshat in that Targum. That is what the Mizbeach is. It's a tearing wolf. So Miriam Bas Bilga remembered that from school. Well, all right, maybe she didn't. But that's certainly what it sounds like. I mean, where did she get this idea from? Lucas, you're a wolf. Tell us, Yaakov Avinu said that the Mizbeach is a wolf. He said, Binyamin Ze'ev Yitzchav, and that refers to the Mizbeach that's going to be built in Binyamin's Chelek. Why do I say that the Gemara confirms that? Because the Gemara says in Zvochan, I think in Gimel Amud Beis, there's the description of how the Mizbeach was built, and in the southeast corner of the Mizbeach there was no Yesoid. The Gemara says, why was there no Yesoid? Because that particular part of the Azorah was not in Binyamin's Chelek, but it was in Yehuda's Chelek. And the halacha is that the Mizbeach has to be dafke in Binyamin's Chelek and not anywhere else. So in that particular portion of the Mizbeach, which if it would have existed there, would have lain in the property of Yehuda, so there Taka wasn't there. There was no Yesoid over there. The Yesoid went, if you go from the southern side of the Mizbeach, so the first part, that means the south east part of the Mizbeach, did not have a Yesoid. But then it started halfway through, and then it went around through the west, and then on the north. But then again, halfway on the east, it stopped, the Yesoid stopped. So the southwest corner was without a Yesoid, because the Yesoid is part of the Mizbeach, and that particular piece of the Azorah was in Yehuda's Chelek and not in Binyamin's Chelek. So steht in the Gemara that the Gemara calls it, because the Mizbeach has to be built, Bechelko Shel Toirev. It has to be built Bechelko Shel Toirev. It's in the Chelek of the Toirev. It doesn't say Bechelko Shel Binyamin. Instead of using Binyamin's name, the Gemara says it has to be Bechelko Shel Toirev. This predator, this grabber of the kill, it has to be Bechelko Shel Toirev. No, so Yaakov Avinu said that the Mizbeach is a wolf, is a Ze'ev Yitzchav, and the pasuk goes on, Binyamin Ze'ev Yitzchav, Baboiker Yoichal Ad, in the morning he eats the kill. Ad is the, those of you learned about the Kama, remember Yovi Adudo Lebez, then Adudo is the carcass of an animal that's been killed. So Baboiker Yoichal Ad, Voerev Yichalek Sholol, and in the afternoon or in the evening he dishes out the spoil. Now I think in the previous year, a few years ago, I explained what that posuk means, that the wolves eat the kill in the morning and dish out the spoil at night, but that's not for now, it'll take too long, it will take us off our interest over here. Aber as steht in the Heiligen Teure, that the Mizbeach is a Ze'ev Yitzchav. So this Miriam Bats Bilga remembered from Cheder that's what she learned. She remembered from Bes Yaakov that is what it says. So she said, Lucas, Ad Mos Atom Mechale Israel. You know, she was thinking, I really think to be Melamed Chuzana like that. That she was thinking of what she learned as a little girl by these Jews. That now she already had married a Goyish soldier, and never for whatever had become of her. And she trod on the Mizbeach, she kicked the Mizbeach. And what's really going on over here? Why is the Mizbeach a Ze'ev Yitzchav? Why is the Mizbeach a Ze'ev Yitchav? That's a very interesting question. Why would Yaakov Avinu use such a negative term? This is Ze'ev Yitchav. And Fakert Miriam Basbilga may have known Nebuch, that such a story could have happened in the history of Klal Yisrael. We won't go into the details now of the Mice of Pelegesh Begiver at the end of Shoftim. And there Nebuch, the Shevet Binyamin, in a terrible Yerida from its real Madrega, had to come to a situation where they had to go where the girls of the other Shvatim were dancing at a party, and they had to grab wives from there because Klal Yisrael had sworn that they would never give any of their daughters to anybody from Binyamin. It's a whole big story. You should learn it at the end of Shoftim and see Taka what this Pelegesh Begiver was all about. But the Ketzer, it was like that Shevet Binyamin was reduced to kidnapping young girls in order that they would have somebody to marry. So maybe Miriam Basbilga learned that too in Beis Yaakov about the Pelegesh Begiver. So he said, you see what it means that Binyamin is a Ze'ev Yitchav. And if the moshel of a wolf is hoilem what the Mizbeach is, so just like it was horrible that Binyamin had to go and grab girls, kidnap girls, so that in order to have women to marry. So, and the Mizbeach, that's what Yaakov Avinu himself described the Mizbeach, that the Mizbeach is a Ze'ev Yitchav. So she saw the Mizbeach in a totally negative light, and because she saw the Mizbeach in a totally negative light, she kicked the Mizbeach. Okay, she was punished, and she has gone down in Jewish history as a terrible person. But I just thought that when you consider the whole story, and the emesis, and let's take a stress that, because that has to do with what I really want to talk about today a little bit. Like, what did she take mean that you're mechalim amoinim shel Yisrael? Now, I guess when I first read the Gemara, I said what is probably the pshuta shel mikra over here, and that is that the korbanos cost money. And maybe she knew some lady who had a baby, and she had to bring a korban, and she couldn't afford it. What lay behind those hateful words. But I have a feeling that since the Gemara identifies her, well, maybe the Gemara identifies her that way because that happened to be the reality. But if the Gemara identifies her that way as being part of the Yevoni structure, so maybe what she meant was something different. Now, maybe that's reading more into the story than it actually says. But on the other hand, if that's Taka the Pshat, then it's not Rochak that's what she meant. Maybe she meant this. Maybe she was an anti-Mizbeach person because of a Yevoni Shitta. She must have been a Hellenist and had absorbed the culture and the ideas of Hellenism. And that is that Olam Hazeh, the secular Metzius, a physical world with wonderful flowers and beautiful music and the beauty of the human body, the gymnastics, the ballet, these are all nice, good things. There's nothing wrong with them. I understand, I think at least, I don't think I got my history wrong over here, that the Greeks were not be'etzem against religion. I think they were oived out by the Zohar. So they were, what the hell apparently was, Avada Gewiss, there's room for an Avada Zohar, and whatever day, maybe on Sunday they used to go, who knows, and you go and you do your Nimus of the Avada Zohar, but that's okay. But the rest of the week, you're Isaac in a physical world, and that has its rights also. It was against the Mizbeach, because in their view, and we'll see in a moment that is Taka the Emes, the Mizbeach is there to take secular things and make them sacred. That is really what the Korbanos are. So if that is what the Korbanos are, that means that she saw the Mizbeach as an anti-secular institution. In other words, it's not good enough just to be an ox. An ox is an ox is an ox. Like, what's an ox? It's nothing holy about an ox. Oh, you take an ox and you make it into a korban, and you make Zrika Saddam, and you do whatever you have to do with the korbanos. So now you have created sacredness out of the secular. That is good. So she said, why are you mechalim amanu shel Yisrael? Why isn't it good if it's just a plain ox? Oxen are very nice. And flowers are very nice, and music is very nice, and gymnastics are very nice. Moshe ato mechalim, why are you an anti-secularism? Why are you an anti- just nice things? I mean, if I understand correctly, that is what Yovan stood for, and it would make sense for her. So she comes into it, and she has a mocha for it. That's what she learned in Chumash. What's Taka the Pshat that Yaakov called Binyamin Ze'ev Yitchav? I think that is what Yaakov Avinu meant, that just like a Ze'ev, when he goes to the kill, you can imagine a whole pack of wolves when they kill at night, yeah? So they hunt at night, the wolves in a pack, and they find a wild beast or whatever it is that they eat, so they kill it, and then you can see all these wolves sort of slurping up the insides and digging into the animal, and then the by the end will be that they've drained all the what do you call that stuff in the bones, and I mean there's nothing left than a few dried bones. That you're a Ze'ev Yitrov, there's nothing that you leave out of your interest, in the last little bit of everything. And the emes is, that is the Yesoid. In other words, that why the Yesoid, Dafka the Yesoid, I mean, it could be, it's just the mechanics of it, that happened to be in that Amr. But it could be that Dafka the Yesoid has to be in the, or let me put it this way, that there's you could understand that the Yesoid occupies a special position in the Mizbeach, because what is really the Yesoid? So the Yesoid, I don't know Kachem well enough to know all the Protim, but the Pesuk says that a lot of times the Shiyoreh Hadam you pour out on the Yesoid, meaning that the Shiyoreh Hadam you could put in the Shemus somewhere. Like, what do you have to pour it out on the Yesoid of the Mizbeach for? You've already done your Kapora. The Kapora is the Matnas Dam on this Keren, on that Keren, up and before the Chut HaSikra, on top of the Chut HaSikra, below the Chut HaSikra, whatever the Halachas are, the Matnas Dam, they make the Kapora of the Mizbeach. The rest is Shiore Adam. Finished, you don't need it anymore. Oh, but we're not going to be Mevata on that. That also has to go on the Yesoid. In other words, the Ze'ev Yitrov, that just like a Ze'ev is not going to let one tiny little blood or meat or whatever it is from the kill to be left just lying around. But he gobbles down everything that there is to be gobbled down. So that is also Binyamin's attitude towards Chulin. He wants everything to become Kodesh. Every last little thing has to become Kodesh. And if you don't need it anymore for the actual Matnas Dam, for the Kapora, so, or maybe the Shiur Adam is also part of the Kapora. Don't take me too literally over here. I probably don't know the halachas well enough. But you understand what I mean, that the Shiore Hadam, in other words, that the aside, that nothing is left outside of the ambit of sanctity. That seems to be what Yaakov Avinu meant. He's the Ze'ev Yitrov. He doesn't let anything escape him. Nothing that can be made sacred should be left out of the Kedusha ambit. So he meant it, of course, positively. But I can understand Miriam Bas-Bilgo, but all right, so let's allow Miriam Bas-Bilgo to sink once more into her anonymity all the way a noon wolf on the base at the end of Sukkot. Okay, but you understand what's going on over here. Now, what the issue is, how do we regard the Mizbeach? And through the question of how do we regard the Mizbeach, the question can be widened in a sense that we can ask ourselves, how do we regard the whole Beis HaMikdash? What is the Beis HaMikdash? I wanted to you'll see where all this is leading to in a moment. Yetzias Mitzrayim, we said we are thinking about Yetzias Mitzrayim. And Yetzias Mitzrayim, of course, culminates in the Kriyas Yamsuf. And what was the Shevach which the Ribbono Shel Olam, which Moshe Rabbeinu sang in the Shira? Hashem Ish Milchama, Hashem Shema. That the Ribbono Shel Olam is an Ish Milchama, and he's Hashem Shema. So I was wondering, where in the Yetzias Mitzrayim, or specifically in Kriyas Yamsuf, I mean, the Shiva was really devoted to a description not of the whole of Yetzias Mitzrayim, but to a description of the Kriyas Yamsuf, where does the Ribbono Shel Olam appear there as an Ish Milchama? Normally, I think that we tend to look at Milchama as a clash between armies. You have an army over here and you have an army over there and they fight each other. You have a kingdom over here, you have a kingdom over there, and they fight each other. That's not really what happened by Kriyas Yamsuf. I mean, there was no Milchama. I mean, the Yidden were going nicely and comfortably walking through the dry land of the sea. V'amayim lehem chomom yeminam u'mismalam, protected on all sides with their chaimas. And they're walking through, they're not bothering us so. And the Egyptians, you know, the Ramban says that the biggest nace in the whole of Yetzias Mitzrayim is that Pharaoh was such a nitwit that he went into the sea. He saw the sea splitting. That doesn't happen every day. Yeah? So he'd just gone through Esa Makkas. I mean, he couldn't figure out that something might happen if he goes in. Right. It happened. So now Ramban Shem brings the water back and they drown. Now, I don't see a war over here. I see a Ribbono Shel Olam who's all powerful, and he knows how to split the sea, and he knows how to bring the water back, and he was able to trap the Egyptians and drown them. Is that really a war? I mean, does that make the Ribbono Shel Olam an Ish Milchama? When you think of Milchama, you think of strategy, you think of weapons, you think of Achveis. I mean, the Milchama is a Chochma, I imagine. But over here, it didn't take any Kreis Chachma. Once you're the Ribbono Shel Olam and you know how to do things to seize. I mean, so I don't know. Maybe it's a completely ridiculous question. But it bothered me. I wanted to know a little bit that what is the real meaning of Milchama, certainly in this context. Now I have a theory about Milchama, and that is based on the Gemara and Shabbos Daf Lamed Amud Aleph. I think you have the Gemara over there of Shlomo HaMelech wanted to bring the Oren after he had finished building the Beis HaMikdash, and now everything was ready, and this was going to be the high point of the building of the Beis HaMikdash, going to bring the Oren into the Kodesh Kodoshim. And that, of course, had started the whole story, because that is why David HaMelech had wanted to build the Beis HaMikdash. Hine Anochi Yoshev Beis Arozim, I live in a beautiful palace made of cedar wood, and Aron Beris Hashem Tachas HaYiriyah is Ma'apitam. How can that be? I should live in a nice palace, and Aron Beris Hashem Tachas HaYiriyah is in a tent. Let's build the Beis HaMikdash. Right? David HaMelech had not been allowed to build the Beis HaMikdash because he was an Ish Milchama. The Ramban says Pshat in that in Chumash, says that Milchama, if you're a warrior, so you're a man who is kosher to the idea of Din, and you're not going to build a Beis HaRachamim. The Beis HaMikdash is a Beis HaRachamim, and Mimele, you who are a Din person, is not right for the Beis HaRachamim. So David HaMelech was not allowed to build the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so Shlomo HaMelech had built the Beis HaMikdash, and he was an Ish Shalom, and everything's fine. So he comes with the Oren, wants to come into the Beis HaMikdash, and the gates refuse to open. What's happening? So Gemara says, "Son, it's a Seush Oren Rashechem. V'nasu Pischei Oilam v'yov HaMelech HaKovet." What do you mean? Why don't you open? You don't want the Melech HaKovet to come into the Kodesh Kodashim? What's the matter with you? So Gemara says the gates wanted to kill him because they thought he meant Melech HaKovet. He meant himself. I'm the Melech HaKovet. So if I want to come to the Beis HaMikdash, you're not going to let me come in. So he said to them, "No, Mize Melech HaKovet." They asked, "Mize Melech HaKovet? Who do you mean by Melech HaKovet?" So Shlomo HaMelech said, no, you made a mistake. I don't mean myself. I mean the Rabban Yishlam. You know who the Rabban Yishlam is? Hashem is his v'gibah. Hashem v'gibah milchomah. So you should let him in. I mean, when you read that and we think what we're saying, it's absolutely just boggles the mind. That is why the gates should open, because Hashem is Hashem. How's it go? Hashem is Zuz v'gibah. Hashem gibah milchomah. Yeah, he's a gibah milchomah. He's a warrior. So let him in. We just learned that David HaMelech couldn't build the Beis HaMikdash because more has to do with din, and a din person has no chelek in a Beis HaRacham, and that's the lashon of the Ramban. So what's going on over here? That Shlomo HaMelech is arguing that you should let in the Ribbono Shlom because he's an Izzos v'Gibor, he's a Gibor Milchama. That's so strange. So the bottom line is that I think that there's a difference between the Ribbono Shlom as an Ish Milchama and David HaMelech as an Ish Milchama. David HaMelech is an Ishma and killing people, and a human war, and that's Takanot Roy for Beis HaRachamim. When the Ribbono Shel Olam is described as an Ish Milchama, it means something different. And the emes is, that we've been talking about it in this year. The emes is that Shlomo HaMelech's logic stated in Chumash, in the Shiva Sayon. Ze Keli Van Veyu. Elohei Oviv Aroim Amenu Zek Heili Van Veyu. Oy. So Rashi brings Zek Heili Van Veyu, that was a Shifr Al Hayam, and they pointed with the finger. Zek Heili, it means by Kriyas Yamsuf Ki'ilu they experienced the Ribbono Shel Olam. How did we say that they experienced the Ribbono Shel Olam, Chazal say, as a giver as a milchama? Yeah, that's what the Mechilta says over there by the Aseret HaDibros, that they experienced him by the Yom Suf as a Gibur Milchama, and by HaSinai as a Rebbe who's teaching Torah. So Anoichi Hashem Elokeich, I'm the same Hashem Elokeich Asher Tzitzichu Meretz Mitzrayim. Over there I was Takan Ish Milchama, but over here I'm a Sofer being Melamed Tanakos. It's all saints. Anoichi Hashem Elokeich Asher Tzitzichu Meretz Mitzrayim. So they saw the Ribbono Shel Olam Yom Suf as a Gibur Milchama. Zeh Keli Van Veyu. And what does Van Veyu mean, Rashi's second pshat? And what the Targum says, I'll build him a Beis HaMikdash. Zeh Keli, this Keli, whom I see by Kriyas Yom Suf, who's that? A Gibur Oysa Milchama. Van Veyu, and for him I'm going to build a Beis HaMikdash. Shlomo HaMelech has a Mokom Mamash in the Shira, Rabbi Yisrael. It's Neiro Neirois. That is what the Pasuk is saying. It's Mamash Neiro Neirois. That the Pasuk is saying that if you are a Gibur Oysa Milchama, which is what the Ribbono Shel Olam appeared to us at the Kriyas Yom Suf, and we said, Zeh Keli, this Gibur Oysa Milchama is my God, V'Anveyu, and for him I'm going to make a Beis HaMikdash. So Shlomo HaMelech has the Mokah in the Shira Sayam. It's Mamash Neiro Neirois. So what's Takarit said? What's Takarit said? And what's this idea of the Mizbeach as a wolf? Yomin Zaev Yitrach. See, Zaev Yitrach, that's also a war of the predator with the kill. What's going on? So I don't want to make the shiur long, and I want to wind it down now, but the bottom line is I think and the emphasis what I'm saying now is could need a lot of elaboration, and maybe in some other shiur maybe we'll get back to it, maybe next, who knows, but be'etzem I think that when we talk about the Ribbono Shel Olam as an Ish Milchama, I don't think that when they said by Kriyas Yom Suf that the Ribbono Shel Olam is an Ish Milchama, Hashem Ish Milchama, Hashem Shema, Zeh Keli Van Veyu, Elohei Aviv Aroim Amenu, Hashem Ish Milchama, Hashem Shema, when they called the Ribbono Shel Olam an ish melchama, I want to suggest that maybe they meant something else. It didn't mean that he was able to drown the Egyptians. Like I said before, it doesn't sound to me like a milchama. It sounds like somebody who he led them into a trap and he drowned them. I mean, nobody called the Rebbeinu Shalom an ish milchama because he brought a mabul in the world in Noach's time. I mean, he drowned the Egyptians, that's all. Why is that a milchama? I think that the Rebbeinu Shalom's milchama, and the reason why Dafka the Rebbeinu Shalom's milchama makes him suitable in the Kodesh Kodoshim, where David as an ish milchama was excluded, is that the Rebbeinu Shalom's milchama is a different milchama altogether. I think that the milchama of the Rebbeinu Shalom is the milchama of the sacred against the secular. In other words, that the tachlis of Briyas HaOlam, when on the second day of creation the Rebbeinu Shalom said Yehi Rokia B'Soich HaMayim Yimavdil Ben Mayim L'Moyim, so Rashi says over there Yischazek HaRokia, doesn't mean there was a Rokia already on the first day, but on the second day Yischazek HaRokia, let the Rokia be hardened. I think that what the Rebbeinu Shalom did over there was that he separated the Elyonim from the Tachtonim, and there's no access. You can't get, the Tachtonim cannot get to the Elyonim. So we know the Chazal, that the Mayim Tachtonim were crying. They said, Anondu Inan Lemehava Kaba Malkus. So the Rebbeinu Shalom said, okay, Sivir Pesach She'eva, you'll come on the Mizbeach. Remember the Mizbeach. Yeah, or the salt, the Melach on the Mizbeach. Also the Mizbeach, the Mizbeach, the Mizbeach. In other words, I think, so the Rebbeinu Shalom made a division over there, which means that it's not easy to get from down here to up there. It's not easy at all. And I think that it's possible, because in the end of days, Yitzhak Hashem, Molo Oretz Deyes, Hashem Kamayim, Layom Mechasim, the Mayim HaTachtonim will also be Mayim HaElyonim. That barrier is going to be brought back to the way it was on the first day, not a soft, not a hard rokia, but a soft rokia. Access will be possible. This is really Jewish history. This is Jewish history that it's possible. We are fighting to sanctify the physical. We're trying to sanctify, not like Miriam and Bilgo said, let each one have its own tchum. Don't be mechalel mamonim shel Yisrael. Yes, be mechalel mamonim shel Yisrael. In other words, bring everything ultimately into the sphere of the holy. That is the Rebbeinu Shalom's milchama. I think that, and that is why the why Shlomo HaMelech said, let the Rebbeinu Shalom into the Kodesh Kodashim. He's a gibor milchama. What is the Kodesh Kodashim? What is the Beis HaMikdash? The Kodesh Kodashim, the Beis HaMikdash, is a place where the secular is made holy. So let the Rebbeinu Shalom come in. Kriyas Yamsuf. Just before we get to this finale of touching up what Yetzias Mitzrayim Taki was, but the emphasis that you see the Etzem, that the Torah Taka describes this fight between the secular and the holy, Taka as a milchama, and that is Vayeorek Ishim Adalos Hashachar. That is the milchama which Yaakov had with the Sarah Shel Esav. Two world views. And it's a milchama. It's a fight. It's a fight. I think that Hashem ish milchama in the Shiras Hayam means Hashem ish milchama. He has suddenly brought Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. It's not the Kriyas Yamsuf. It's not the Makas. That's not the milchamas. Those are not milchamas. That's the Rebbeinu Shalom doing what he needs to do to get Klal Yisrael out of there. The milchama is that Klal Yisrael, it's like a maternity ward in a hospital. Lokachas like goy mikerev goy. It's a struggle. Yeah, we know when a baby is born, it has to fight to get out. It has to fight to get out. And that is Sefer Shemos. Sefer Shemos is the Sefer where we observe the birth of Klal Yisrael struggling to get out of the Egyptian womb. Lokachas l'goy mikerev goy. That is why it's a milchama over there. Just like the little fetus has to fight its way out of the mother's womb. And it's a very, very, I mean, how would I know? But I understand that it's a very, very difficult fight. It's very hard to fight its way out. And that is the milchama. And that is what Shlomo HaMelech said. What's the Beis HaMikdash there for? The Beis HaMikdash is the place where the Ribbono Shel Olam wages this battle. He wages this battle of trying. He's the whatever you call him, the obstetrician, right? To try and get this fetus out of the mother's womb. And where is his maternity ward? In the Kodesh Kedoshim, in the Beis HaMikdash. That is where it all takes place. So let him in, it's the Ishmael Chama. The whole world is a battlefield. It's the battlefield of ultimately bringing the secular into the realm of the sacred. So maybe this is a good introduction to Sefer Shemos, and Yetzer Shem we will carry on in the coming weeks.